All right. I'm glad I'm here tonight. I'm a little nervous, but I'm glad I'm here tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Like remember Larry and them talking to them time, people all excited about the mic. When it's time to come, you get a little nervous about the mic when it's time to do it. I'll make you laugh before we get started. And I got to remember my wife told me, she said, baby, now hold up a minute. She said, now, you get excited. But first of all, she told me don't break down, because I'll be crying. Then she told me you get a little excited, you talk too fast, and people can understand, you got to stay calm. So I'm trying to stay calm and not talk fast. All right, but y'all got to help me. Oh, make you laugh. And then we go pray. We was at service last Wednesday. Apostle was sitting in his seat right there. He was saying something to me, like, but I couldn't make out what he was saying. And he was saying something like, I said, maybe you're not talking to me. I looked the other way. And then I said, maybe you're talking to Brother Calhoun. So I said, well, he's like saying something to us, so I'm going to walk over there too. Brother Calhoun. We walked up. I said, Brother Calhoun, don't be talking to you or to me, but we're going to go see. So we get over that guy. Soon he cut that corner right there. He said, John, you got it Wednesday. I'm thinking in my mind, oh, you talking about prayer? You talking about ushering? Oh, yeah, I can do that. So then Dr. Leroy Jr. passed by, and he looked at my face, he just went to laughing. My face got pale, like all the blood that drained out. So he told Brother Calhoun when he had it. And he said, John, he said, you got the Wednesday. I said, Apostle, what you talking about Wednesday? What you talking about? A prayer? Washington, what you talking about? He said, John, what's the problem? You can't handle it? I need to get somebody else to do it? You need some more time? I said, no, Apostle, I don't need more time. I can do this. I've been sitting in the Word for 30 years. I ought to be able to do something. more than that, really. Really, at all. So make you laugh one more time. I first came here, I got named three, and I'd been here a little while, and Brother Ronald came to me and said, Brother John, say, you thought about going to ministry school? I said, no, Brother Ronald. I said to him, I think, I don't need no ministry school. I've been ministering about 10 years. I know some stuff. I didn't say that. But I said, I think I know a few things. But he said, so he asked me, I said, well, let me think about it. So I got into ministry school. And so the first year in ministry school, at the end of the year, it used to be you have to read all the books they got in school. They say, pick any one of the books you want. And you need to do a 5-minute sermon out of one of them books. And you read any book you want, like that. So we got there for the dude that, they said, Apostle gonna be there, all the instructors gonna be there. Check y'all, make sure you see what you got. I said, Apostle gonna be there. I called him. I said, I need to take off. I got to get off of work today. I got to pray all night and all day. So we get this. So my name Anderson, so I got to go first. Oh, geez, I got to go first. I wish my name was Z that time, but it was A. So he said, all right, Brother John, your turn. You got 5 minutes. So I'm getting everyone like that. And I'm getting rid of the strips like that. I'm just nervous. My knees knocking, shaking, and everything like that. And so I do a 5 minutes, and all of a sudden, but I felt like somebody came behind me and put a coat over my shoulder, like that. And I said, hold up 1 minute here now. Hold up. That anointing that came up on my shoulder, I said, God is with me now. I said, hold up on me. It didn't make no difference what nobody looked like, what nobody said. I said, man, I know God on me. And Brother Ron said, all right, 5 more minutes. I said, hold up, 5 more minutes. All I prepared for was 5. All right, that's about the head. Father, we come for you in Jesus' name. We thank you for this day. Thank you for Apostle. Thank you for the first family, Ms. Callum. Thank you, Apostle, for this opportunity, Lord. Just thank you for that. Just thank you for your anointing, Father, and your presence. Thank you, Lord, that I speak whatever you put in my mind. I say it out of my mouth. May your anointing rest on us tonight. May every ear be a listening ear. Every heart be a receptive heart. And that your will be done tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Don't be seated. Stand up a couple minutes. Stand, like Paul said, stand with me. let me give you my title of my sermon. So at least you see you got that. The power of staying connected.
Amen.
That's what we're going to talk about tonight. The power of staying connected. That's my title. Okay. That's, all right. My wife wrote this off for me. All right, today I want to share with you the significance of being connected to the apostle, or to your spiritual leader, spiritual covering you have, if you're not a member of this church. The apostle is not just a leader, or the spiritual leader is not just a leader or a preacher. They are chosen by God to guide and shepherd us as we on our spiritual journey. As mentioned in Ephesians 4:11-12, the apostles are given to us by God, by Christ himself, to equip and build up the body of Christ. All right? And being connected to the apostle or to a spiritual leaders means being under their spiritual authority and guidance. Amen. Hebrews 13:17 said, we are encouraged to have confidence in our leaders and submit to their authority, knowing that they watch over us and are accountable for our well-being. We honor and respect our apostle. We create an environment where their work becomes joy and not burden, as stated in 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. Your spiritual leader or the apostle plays a critical role in teaching, preaching, and shepherding the church, as highlighted in 1 Timothy 5:17 and Acts 20:28. Their dedication to the word of God and their commitment to leading us into ways of the Lord are invaluable to our spiritual growth and maturity. Invaluable to our spiritual growth and maturity. And sometimes I like to ask my kids, my children, I ask them, I say, you're doing okay mentally, you're doing okay physically, how you doing spiritually? You got to think about that for a minute. So many people, everything else, head of their spiritual life like that. And then when life came in on them, they commit suicide, do something crazy, jump off the board or something like that, because they ain't got no good spiritual foundation on them. Because spiritual things, we handle anything physical or mentally, you can handle it. You see what I'm saying? So I'll be real careful about that. Like one guy said, don't leave your house these days. Please don't leave without spending some time with the Lord. Because every day you get out of bed, you got to deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Every day. Don't be scared, but every day they waiting on you. When you got to bed, they waiting on you. This world is crazy. The devil ain't never got no sense, ever. Because anytime God got you, the lead worship lead up there in heaven, and you're acting a fool with God, something wrong with you. You the head man got all the pipes and everything in you, and you won't run heaven. Yeah. And the Bible says for the flight and flesh, you're on the ground. Yep. Ain't been on the ground since. Sliding, conniving, trying to see who we can handle, who we can mess with. But you can't mess with a child that knows who they are and what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah. All right. Anybody legs getting tired? All right, got a couple more minutes. Well, at least you got the, yeah, look, you got something. All right. Therefore, let us hold our apostle, our spiritual leader, in high regard, acknowledging their hard work and dedication to caring for us in the Lord. Let us support them in prayer, follow their teaching with an open heart, and live in unity and peace under their leadership. May we always remember that being connected to an apostle, to a spiritual leader, is not just a formality, but a blessing from God to guide us on our spiritual journey, a faith that will continue to walk together in love, unity, and honoring and respecting our spiritual authority that God has placed on. I want to inject something here. Now, Peter and them, the guys that Jesus picked, them guys were just regular working their job, regular fishermen, regular people. They hooked up with Jesus, and them people, them guys raising the dead, doctor. Peter, when the woman laid out and caught her by the hand, did that Jesus, the girl, Dorcas, I think, caught her by the hand, she was dead, and walked, got up, and said, when she gets straight, give her something to eat. That's the same thing Jesus did with another girl. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I thought about this. Now, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, every time you see him, he hanging out on Jesus' breast, laying on Jesus' breast, and then he would say, man, I'm the apostle that Jesus loved. He said all the time. Am I right, brother Ron? Correct me if I'm not ever wrong. All the time. You look up here on Jesus' breast, laying right up his clothes, all the time. Now, this man wrote this. I'm at the end of my sermon already. I'm bagging up. But I want to say this before I forget it. I'm being serious. This will be my last thing, but I'm going to hit it hard right now. I'm hitting it. Just in case I get a little bored, y'all say, he did hit it hard for a couple of minutes. he said, but all of a sudden, Apostle John walking, when all the other disciples took out running and would leave, the Apostle John right there by the cross with Jesus. And Jesus trusted him with his mother. Come on, help me out now. Help me out. Now, when they tried to kill the Apostle John and all, and tried to boil him, It didn't work. They said, okay, that ain't gonna work. Let's put him on this island by himself and see if he's gonna go crazy or not, and we'll go get him later with the ambulance. And all he did was took from that dimension, Brother Ronald, got off of the spirit, and wrote Revelation.
Yeah.
Now, hold up. And I say it all the time. I said, one time, I looked up by the door, I was over here, and an apostle over there walked by. I said, what the world? Is the apostle doing well with that? I'm too far back. I'm too far behind. What am I doing? Then one time, me and Tony were trying to keep up with the apostle. We were flying. Every time we look up, we hit the ground. All them people backyard, all sides of the road, apostle was dead to fly. I said, what the world? We're on my airplane. Why are they flying like it didn't be flying? Oh, why am I hitting the ground so much? Inconsistent connection, I guess. But I'm working on it.
Amen.
Now, let me see. A couple more minutes. Y'all gonna say, I know what y'all gonna do. Soon the apostle get back. Apostle, don't let John get nowhere near the pulpit ever again. Because he make a stand at least 10 minutes too. Okay, let me see. Here's a list of relevant scriptures that pertain to being connected to an apostle or a spiritual leader in the Christian church. Ephesians 4, Christ himself gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teachers to equip the people for the work of service and build the church, equip them. And that we're doing, we get people saved, witnesses and stuff like that. So we're doing the work of the ministry. We've been trained.
Right.
So we ain't just sitting around just putting out there, we're working. Everybody working. And if you're on the app, even if you ain't getting nobody, as long as you're on the app trying to get somebody saved, you're doing good. All right, let me see. I'm almost done. 1 Corinthians 12 to 8, God has placed in the church, first of all, apostle, secondary prophet, thirdly teacher, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, God, a different tone. I got this in my notes. Don't sit down, but get your Bible. I want you, don't sit down, you got a couple more seconds, and we'll sit down. Get your Bible, Hebrews 13, 17. But I wrote something down about that. Anybody mad yet? Okay, just checking. Why are apostles not here? What are you doing up there? Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm just surprising you all, but I sure wasn't going to say no. Wait. All right, 1 Corinthians, what were we saying? All right, okay. I'm coming. All right. Somebody read. I'm going to have to read it, look like. Hold on. Everybody get there. Then I'm going to let you sit down. All right, 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, who faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. All right, I wrote this down. God has called us to obey our spiritual leaders and submit to them. They have been entrusted with the responsibility of watching over our soul. They should do this with joy, not grief. And then I put on a footnote, I must purpose to be a blessing and not a pain to my spiritual leader. You can sit down. Thank you, sir. Someone say, thank you, sir. All right. Now, what I'm going to do tonight, I ain't going to be getting everything I got. I'll tell my wife, say, baby, you ready? I said, yeah. Baby, I'm so ready. I got so many strips. I don't know what to do with all the strips I got. I got them. Now I need to try to put these things together. So, let me see. Apostle been teaching about the resurrection power, how to walk in it. Right. That would be teaching about like that. So what I want to do tonight a little bit, because like, he done an excellent job on that, so I don't even need to fool with that. But I want to teach you some things that will stop you from flowing in that resurrection power. I want to look at a few things like that. Stuff like that. Go meet the John 6. We're going to be done fast. John, everybody got John 6. I got so much stuff, I got to keep it together. All right, let's see. Hold up here. John 6. All right, John 6, 5. Everybody got it? All right. It said, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, He saw a great company come to him. He said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? The sixth verse says, he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. My pastor been talking about this years ago. God asked you something, God didn't ask you a question because he don't know the answer. He's trying to get your thinking like where he's trying to take you at. Hold up, something just came to my mind. And I'm going to show you something. We may get there, but this came to my mind, so I won't do it now. Now, when Jesus came to raise Lazarus up, Martha and Mary knew if Jesus was there, they would have died. That's the first, soon they walked into their town, and started talking, that's the first thing they said. They said, Jesus, if you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. Then Mary came out and said, a few steps down, said, Jesus, if you'd have been here, our brother would not have been dead. Now the problem was, they knew Jesus could keep you alive. They knew nobody was dying while Jesus was at your house doing nothing. Nobody was going crazy while Jesus was there. But this was the problem they had. When Jesus talked about, your brother going to rise again and get them up, that's what the problem was. And the same thing with the apostles doing with us. He's trying to take us to walk in the resurrected power. Now, if you're going to get your mind straight and get your thinking right and stuff like that, and listen to the wrong voices, it'll take you out from the resurrected power. Because I was just reading, I'll say this and then we'll go back. Now, Jesus, I'm going to live fast, but he got to, they talk about all the stuff they talk about, Jesus wept and all that. He gets to the grave, about to raise Lazarus up. Guess what came out of Martha's mouth? Anybody know? Now, you crying because your brother dead. We about to go raise him up, brother Round. We about to go get him up. We right at his, ready? We right by the grave, y'all. I'm finna get him. I'm finna call him out. And this was what Martha said. By night, stinking. That would have been my brother. No, I know. I would have said that. I said, we're going to deal with that stinking after you get him up. I don't worry about that right now. Get him out of the grave. I'll wash him up. I'll get him in the holes if it happens. See, here's my point. Thank God Jesus didn't listen to him. Yeah. And if he listened to him, said, I'm about to raise this man. This woman will say something dumb like that. That's it. Miracle, I'm going home. This is crazy. You see what I'm saying? You get around people that's talking negative and talking, and then you get to agree with them like that. They're going to cut the power off. You go, why we had to pay that much for that? Why you had to get that kind of? Yeah, man, you're right. I might need to give you a cheap. Okay. And that's what you get. Hang around people that can't see like you see. I don't know what you know. And you keep hanging around them. They're going to keep you in the flesh. Okay. Oh, come on. Let me get over that quick. All right. So look here. Now, he said that to prove Philip. Because he already knew what he was going to do. He had already made his mind up. We're going to get a miracle going, and I'm trying to let y'all do it with me. Just follow my lead, and I'm getting what we need to get. Look here. He said to prove him, for he himself knew. Philip said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. That's what he said. I had forgot. He must have forgotten for a few minutes. We're talking about Jesus, your doctor. That's what we're talking about. And you going to see that? You should say, Jesus, I don't know how you're going to handle this. What you going to do? But I'm sitting there watching me. I just can't wait to see how you're going. So 200 penny worth is like a half your wages of salary. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that everyone may take a little. And even in the, one of the translators, even if they would have took that, bought that, everybody would go, all they're going to do is get a little bite, like a mini burger. Even if he took the money out and bought it, everybody go ahead and just get a little bite and get home. They're going to be get full. So Jesus, I guess you say, God, how long got to be with these dudes? Yeah, this is wow. All right, here we go. Now, all right, then one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, said, there's a lad here which has five barley loaves and two small fishes. Watch what he say. But what are they among so many? So suppose you get like, that, and Jesus looking at you said, now, if I get these guys to agree, I can do, and you got a friend, you'll say, yeah, man, you're right. Well, that's a minute. We can't do it. And then she said, okay, I'm going on to y'all. What's wrong with y'all guys? But Jesus kept on going because he's trying to pull these guys over into the supernatural. All right, now hold on. And look what Jesus said in 10th verse. Everybody read the 10th verse with me. Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass to play. So the men sat down in numbers of 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given name, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise, the fishes, as much as they would, when they were filled, they said to the disciples, gather up the fragment that remained, that there's nothing below. Look at 13 verse. Read that one. Therefore, they added unto them and filled 12 baskets. Hear my friend. And say, same pastor, I'm doing all. And he lived life in front of us. I'm trying to tell you, you just got to be paying attention. That we say, paying attention and follow instruction. Because he lived it right in front of us. I'll be standing here like this. And like he said, the people just come happy. Bring put money on steps. Every year, in the year for anniversary, they give up $1 million, stuff like that. And my friend, I'm saying, you start expecting you have to get $1 million here because you've been on your life. But these are ought to get 500. Or something, I'm saying, you start expecting it for somebody to just give it to you. You got to stop looking at your job, trying to kill yourself. Take it all over time. Look, don't get overtime. Nobody give it all to me. Let me kill myself. Ain't no, you got to work overtime sometimes. But my problem is saying, you focus on doing it in your own strength. Yes. And look, Jesus ain't called down bank. He ain't borrowed no money from nobody. He ain't done nothing. He just looked up the Father, gave things. And then he said, this is a flow. This is a resurrection flow. Here, boy, take this and give it to the people. Now, hold up, Brother Ron, Brother Greg. Where all that bread and stuff come from? All the fishes, the boy, they have two fishes and five baskets. Where all that come from? Like the pastor said, once you get on the spirit realm, there ain't no such thing. Charlotte? Limit? Ain't no such thing. Oh, being sick? Not when you get that realm over there. Sick, ain't no way. So my problem is, we need to learn how to let this resurrect power that's on the inside of us flow. So, the longer you get, let your mind keep thinking the wrong thinking, talking the wrong talk, you'll never see it. Let me see what I'm at now. Let me keep an eye on that clock. Hold on. Hold on. I'm not going to get fired like Brother Lassie and be my last time here. All right, let me see. Now, hey, listen to this question. Don't answer. Don't answer this question now. You answer it in your mind. Don't answer this. Because we might locate you if you answer this. Don't say nothing. Just say it in your mind. When Jesus planned your life out, and the supernatural planned your life out, do you think he planned for you to be sick? Do you think he planned for you to have poverty? No. Lack? Confusion? No. Like, God's a father. I know I don't want you to have children. Like I told you now, I can't make that get everything you want, but everything you need, that's my job. I'm gonna make sure you got everything you need to get what you need to get. That's my job. And when they didn't have everything, yeah, man, I felt some kind of bad scotch. Oh, man, what's wrong? They had to get straight, but we got straight. All right, let me see. We're at next. All right. All right, now. Let me see. Oh, okay. This is what we're going to do. Hold on. All right, go with me to John 11. We're almost done. We got less time than we started. Y'all, we doing good. John 11. John 11, y'all better got it? Go down to verse 6. When Jesus heard the son of Jesus, and the Bible in the fifth verse, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he said unto his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and you go back over there again? Okay, let's skip down here. Then look at verse 11. Our friend Lazarus sleeping, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. So Jesus couldn't wait for the miraculous power going. That's why he waited an extra 2 more days. Because they said, 2 days, they said, the spirit had hung around, and he might not really been dead. But after 4 days, the spirit going back, gone, he gone, so he know he dead. He really is dead. Is that such a thing as dead? All right, look at verse 14. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, man, Lazarus dead, man. And I'm glad for your sake that that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go on him. Now, I'll skip because I don't want to call next, but I got a couple of verses I wrote down here. All right, Look at verse 24. Anybody got it? All right. Go verse 22. But I know that even now, whatever you ask the Father, ask God, God will give it to you. Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. And this was Martha said. Martha said unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last days. That's what she said. Now, that's what she was thinking. And so she didn't realize. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 25. Jesus said to him, I am the, wait a minute, what? Let me see if I'm seeing that right. I am. Let me read again. I am. Now, hold up one minute. Hold up one minute. Now, if you're born again, Jesus, the resurrection, will move on the inside of you. Yes. So when a problem come up, don't jump in your flesh too fast or jump in your corner mind too fast. God may want to let that resurrection power out the flow to heal somebody. Yes. Come on. I'm trying to get you there. So pastor has been teaching us about the resurrection power that can handle anything. We just like, he teaches us how to learn how to cooperate with it and flow with it. Yeah. So all I'm doing is telling you watch some things to look out for to stop you from flowing in. Because once you smoke it, we got it. Now we just got to follow instructions so we walk in it. Come on. I am the resurrection, the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, I'm going to show you something. Now, look what Mary said right there, 27. She said unto him, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went away and called her sister Mary. She I realize you're the Son of God. You're our friend. I love you. Martha love you. And our brother Lazarus love you. But this about my brother getting out, you the resurrection, about getting my brother out of the grave now? I don't know about that. I'm going to show you something. We gotta skip down. Look at verse 38. We skip down because I'm trying to. I don't have time to cover all the scriptures, but you can go back and read it yourself. You know how to read. Go read it for yourself. Jesus, therefore, groaning in himself, and coming to the grave, it was a cave, a stone laid upon him, and Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time he's stinking. For he had been dead 4 days." Jesus said, now, some people got upset right there. Now, hold up. See what you just said, Martha, with that craziness right there? You get your own brother. I see you. I'm trying to do this. You tell me all that crazy stuff. So watch your mouth. Watch what you be saying. All right? All right. Now look, Jesus said to her, said I unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God. So you're not going to see no glory of God if you ain't going to believe in it. That's right. Come on. God, Pastor, God ain't going to cross your faith. You got to believe. So he said that crazy thing you just said about stinking, be quiet. All right. Look at 43. 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where he was dead, there laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know, and I knew that thou hears me always, but because of the people who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus ain't paying no attention to none of that. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Now I wrote a note down for you right there. Let me see what I got here. Listen to this. Write this down. Now you got to write this down. Like Apostle said, write this down. Whenever Jesus calls you out, nothing can hold you. Amen. Now think about it for a minute. Hold on 1 minute. Let's put this together. This man been dead in the grave. He was stinking. Then put that bombing fluid in him. Then wrapped that dude up. He wrapped all over the stuff on him. He can't move. I don't know how he moved. He could probably just chop it off to get right there. He can't move. Then the thing on his face, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Never told people. And so I was trying to get you to understand. Once God calls you out, if somebody else got to unloose you, or you got to unloose yourself, once he calls you out, nothing can hold you. Okay. Now I want to skip. I'm at the end of my sermon right now, but I just need to get this stuff out right here. I want to talk about Revelation. Like Pastor said, he was teaching us on a Sunday. He's out there. I know I shared a lot with y'all. I really shared too much with you because everybody can't wear Revelation. Revelation, you got, like Brother Ronald said, people talk to people, man, you come to, well, you got the Revelation, and you know the law because you see the law moving in your life, and you try to share with a person, and they look at you like, what you saying? So when you talk to Revelation, you got to talk about the mature when you deal with Revelation. Because Revelation move you. Yeah. When you get a Revelation about something, man, I'm gone, brother. I'll share this story with you. We bought a house, 96, you had your name, 3, and the house had a pool and stuff in it. Well, I came up from a family, we go fishing with my mom and my auntie. We go fishing all the time, and they wouldn't let us fish because they didn't want to buy a bank, but they fish all the time, they love to go every day, and they take us with them. But one thing would get you tore up, Brother Cal, one thing would get your behind whooped good. If you play around the edge of that bank, around where that water is, like that, they gonna come away. You gonna tell them, what the boy, get around that water, you can drown. You can drown. In all our life, you heard that about drowning. So we got to the point, we ain't around the bank, but we can stay in our mind about drowning. So we got out of the pool. I got 2 young girls. So we couldn't wait to get them to go swimming because we scared. Not them, we scared. I'm saying, man, I said, what if I'm not home? If all this, I got to get them to the swimming place later, fast as I can, because I'm scared. So Brooke got in there, and Brooke was doing good, learning good. And Kelsey, my young girl, she was there about 2 days, the lady called me to the front and said, Mr. Anderson, your only daughter, we got to take out the class because she don't want to get her face wet. I can't teach her if I can't put her face in the water. I said, Jesus, Lord. But somebody kind of, I'm shaking like this, Lord Jesus. So me and Kelsey got home that night, we had a little talk. I said, Kelsey, I know you won't leave your friends every day, but you got to put your face in the water, baby, you got to get it. Yeah. But let me tell you what happened. We brought it back the next day, and all of a sudden, I had a revelation, Brother Ronald. I said, yes, ma'am, she's going to come back, she's going to put her face in water, everything go. And then I said, hold up, ma'am. Sign me up. all these little cheering, hey, Mr. Anderson, I said, hold up 1 minute here. I said, ma'am, put me on that list. I'll be here tomorrow. Put me on that list. So I got there with my spoon too. I couldn't get there fast enough. I said, man, I got to get this scanner off me. I got to break this. So she told me, I said, so, she had me talking about swimming? I said, now, ma'am, Friday, I'm going to jump up the dive board. I just want y'all to say, I'm doing it because I know y'all here, but please, if I have a problem, come get me. But I learned everything I got to do, and I got so I just swim. I said, if I got a problem, they'll come get me, but I'm going to be all right. They ain't come grab me. So I just come and swim. By Friday, by that Monday, brother Ronald, you got to come get me, but I got this. And I broke that thing all my life of being scared of water, so I'm scared of swim. I hate to say this here, but my older sister's going to get me. but I had to break it. I got on a motorcycle with a guy one time. And we took a ride on the motorcycle with the guy one time, took him down on the curb where we live at. The guy didn't drive crazy. The guy didn't do nothing wrong. But on the way coming back, the devil said, look at that road right there. See that road? If you fall off the bike, you're going to be dead. All the way back, he told me, you better make sure you get your back safe because you're going to be dead. So we got back safe. I ain't tell the guy nothing. I just eased off the motorcycle. And for about 20 years, if I seen a motorcycle, I wouldn't touch it. I said, nice motorcycle, go around it. I said, I'm sure not going to touch that thing. It'll kill me. The devil had no mind. You would get it. If you just touch it, you might be dead. I said, oh, Jesus, Lord. I would be, hey, nice back. How you doing? Oh, Lord. Now, listen. So some lady was telling me about swimming, so like, about riding the motorcycle. You know, I'm like, man, I ain't scared. Boy, I was so scared. I would act like, when I was so scared. But I got around Tommy Washington. And so he taught me. And so I want to learn. I really not hit myself. I'm really because I'm trying to act like I want to learn, but I'm really scared. I'm serious. So Tommy taught me. Said, look here, man. This bike can't do nothing unless you do it. This bike ain't going to just jump up and bite you. This bike's not going to just take off down the road and leave you. It's not going to do that. Here's the brakes. You control them. Here's the clutch. You control it. If that bike get out, anytime that bike get that crazy, know where your brakes at and know where your clutch. As soon as you take the clutch, you take the power from that motorcycle, just like that. Soon as you hit the brake, you stop that motorcycle, just like that. Yes, He taught me how to do that. Took a little while. Then he said, get on the motorcycle, Brother John. Feel it. I moved. So he let go. You control it. So we took about, I guess, about a year riding around. But he said, Brother John, now, you've been riding a good while. It's time for you to get on the road, buddy. You got to get off these back roads. You got to get off the Walmart. You got to get off the back. Tesla down. You need to get on the road. I said, oh, I can do it. He said, you can do it. Just go do it. So not only did I do it, I'm on my second motorcycle now. Yeah. I caught an airplane with the hour. All the way down on the airplane. Picked that motorcycle, get him in cash, and drove that motorcycle 1,000 miles back. Thomas said, I can't believe that. I said, yes, I did it. I did it, brother. We getting ready now to go to Tennessee up in the mountain. He's getting no motorcycle. He's getting no motorcycle. He's going to whoop me. That's the best about the super the power guard trying to rain. You got to deal with it. We can, like he said, we got to stop letting the world think we some clowns.
That's right.
We got to operate and demonstrate this power that we're going to bring us into it. Because the power's gone. He out there. Yeah, I said, this me. I said, the man came up here for a meeting in January. I said, that man from Russia. It take 2 days to get there from Russia. Why would somebody come over here from Russia? He must be seeing something over here that got gone from Russia. Then the guy came from the Ukraine. I said, man, you can't be stupid. John, you cannot be stupid. This man teaches us how to walk into power and got other people who want to learn. They come from far and near to learn. And I said, you're not going to leave me now. You're not going to leave me. I'm walking in this.
Yes,
sir. All right, let me see. I'm almost done, y'all. Y'all, I wish that guy would sit on down. I'm just teasing. Now, listen. Revelation and power is not given to immature people. Not given to immature people. All right, let's see. Go to Galatians 4 and 1. And then we go to 1 Corinthians 13. Galatians 4, y'all got it? All right. All right, Galatians 4. Now I say to the heir, as long as he is a child, he's different nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all. But as tutors, under tutors and governors until the time of printing of the father. And I think printing of the father got a set time, but as you grow and mature, you can move that time.
Yeah.
As you grow and mature, you move that time. Like my kid was young and my girls were young, they listened. So we got on the road fast. We got on the interstate real fast. We started in the neighborhood. We started on side roads, on the front road. We started on in different other roads. And then finally, we go, we get on the interstate. You ready? Let's get on the interstate and see what you're really working with. And I taught them how to drive fast because they listen. You get boys, they just want to try all kind of crazy stuff. Don't listen. I ain't going on the interstate with your brother. You ain't listening. You ain't going to kill me. I know. I got it. No, that's okay. We ain't going. Because you ain't listening. All right, let me see. All right, now go to 1 Corinthians 13. We're almost done, 13 and 11. So I'm saying, until you mature and grow up, there's certain things you'll never see or never have. And that was the apostle trying to teach us to grow up. So you walk into supernatural power. And then he told us something. And he always said this. He said, you can do it. Man, y'all some powerful people. Powerful, you can do it. And he's trying to teach us now. You can do it. You can do it. You don't need me. If it get bad, I come. Or you call me, but you can do it. I'm telling you. All right, 1 Corinthians 13, 11, let me see. Everybody got it? 1, 2, 3, read. And that's what's going on right now. As long as you're mature and stuff like that, and that word, like a man right there, means mature. As long as you're mature, you put away foolish stuff, childish stuff like that, and you grow up. Like a lot of people say, man, I'm really mature. And you're thinking, and that's why I wrote down my notes. I wrote, okay, and we got the baby to come to church, and you mature? Prayer 1 hour, we got 168 hours a week, and we got to beg you for 1 hour to come to prayer, and you mature? And then let's break it down. We know at night, you got 12 hours per night, so let's take 84, we got 84 hours, we can't get one for prayer, and you mature? Somebody got to beg you to come to church? You a mature Christian? Oh, okay. I'm done. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm not the pastor. I'm just trying to tell you. People telling themselves like that. And my point about that, you got to come here to be trained to walk in there. So how you, like one guy, I go to my own church. I don't go to church. No man can't tell me what I'm saying. Why are you going to be trained? Like it came to my mind, you are a spirit being having an earthly experience. And think about it. This physical body you see, all the physical stuff you see, at the end of age, all this going to be gone. All that stuff you're going crazy, running high and stuff like that, the house we just built, all that, in the end time, all that's gone. So if I'm focused on that, that's going to be gone. The only thing that's going to matter is what I did for Christ. What I did, I thought about this thing. The Bible said we're going to judge angels. We're going to be running and judging angels. All them gals out there, nobody living on doing nothing. Somebody got to run that. Who you think going to run that?
Come on.
I'm trying to, God is training us, brother, around to run this universe for him.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? You ain't got time for spiritual things?
Yeah.
I said, man, I ain't going to be dumb. Okay, where we say we're going next? All right, let me put it. Look, I'm done with these. Let me move to the side. Hold on. All right, here we go. Okay, here we go. Let's go to Luke 13. I'm almost done. Let's go to Luke 13. And then we're almost done. I'm doing okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. I want to show apostle. I ain't been sleeping. I've been paying attention. I've been watching. I tell my kids, make them laugh. I say, now, my mama done raised me, 14 brothers and sisters, done raised me, trained me how to live life and stuff like that. I done got married and got y'all. They ain't get bad. I'm running back to my mama. Now, sometimes people get finally have to go back to mama. I ain't talking about that. But I told my children, I ain't never going back. I ain't going back. If I got to get me a one bedroom, one bathroom apartment, I ain't going back. Because if I go back, then think about it. I can't just go by me. I got to bring them with me. So I'm going out, so she might be thinking, she probably would, my mama loves her, she would have had a problem with it, but I'm thinking, I must have been asleep at the wheel. I must have wasn't paying attention, bro.
Yeah.
Y'all catch that tomorrow? I'm not going back. Like I told my mama had so much trouble to raise it. We had so poor, me and my brother, we couldn't get no bike. You go biking, I'm on bike. We had to share our bike. Clothes, we had to share them clothes. Well, we had so much fun. We brought the yard running, man, dust all over us and having some fun, sweating like a mule. And we going to the mouth, go take your bath. Had no bath tub. We had to get rid of number three tub. And boy, we so excited. Boy, we bad. Oh, yeah, mama, bad. We had forgot to get up under here. That'll get the keel right there. That'll get the keel. Mama said, boy, come here. Let me spill on your arm. I said, I bad. Yes, I did. Yes, I. Why are you spilling still? Spilling like a mule then? What's going on with this deal? Bam! Take the broom out. I said, you trying to kill me? What you doing? But I tell you this, you told me not to be nasty. Boy, he said, now we might not have a lot of money, all that stuff, but all this water we got soap around y'all, come out and spend like that again. I said, yes, ma'am, you ain't got to worry about me. Where I said I was going, anybody know? Jesus. What I said? Look, 30, okay. I know what y'all gonna do to me. I know. Apostle, keep jumping around the pulpit. Keep jumping around it. I know what y'all, I'm gonna just mess with y'all. Luke 13, 11. All right, I'm almost done. Look at this. I'm just gonna show you about now, this is another thing that'll stop you from walking the power. All right, everybody got it? Luke 13, 11. And there, behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, that was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately he was made straight and glorified God. Now think about this for a second. Y'all see some people bow like this here, bow. She wasn't bowed like that. The Bible says she bowed like a paperclip, like that. Feet to her, head right by the feet. Bowed together, and not just bowed, together. Because the devil, a demon got in there. That's where the spirit of him. And then he got in one of these churches with this tradition. So Jesus came to that church. And the reason he did it so fast, brother Ronald, before anybody knew anything, he seen him, come here, man. bam, lay hands. Before anybody can say something, of course, bam. Now look, come on, look at them. Look at 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Anybody know what indignation means? That dude is hot. That dude is mad. That dude is ready to cuss because a woman done got healed. He's so stuck in his tradition, he's not even worrying about a woman and worrying about his donkey. Right. Yeah. You got to watch tradition, religion. That's why Pastor said, watch that. That's somebody's idea. That's somebody's way. Now, what, if you hold on to it, it'll keep you in that tradition. But the power of God, you'll never see it. And that's why he was fine with her walking around that church 18 years, bowed over, till the resurrection came in there. And before you could say something, that wasn't straight, buddy. Now what you gonna do about it? Then Jesus told him about himself. I wish I had time to preach today. I wish I had time. I just ain't got time, but I'm gonna do this. Look at him. Hold up. Hold on. My chapter went back. I'm gonna mess with y'all. 13, what was it? 12, what verse was in? 14. Thank y'all for helping me. All right, 14. Look at him. Then the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, listen, this 6 days in which you made all the work, and them y'all come here and be healed. And not on the Sabbath day. Jesus, I can't take no more. I can't take it. I can't take it. Mm-mm. Jesus, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You hypocrite, now hypocrite, do not each one of you on the Sabbath day lose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water? And ought not this woman, come on now, ought not this woman, ought not this woman, ought not this woman, ought not this woman be the daughter of Abraham? Wait, who? Somebody said, who did that?
Satan.
And you up there, Satan over there, walking around the tree, got a woman, and you over there, holding on to your tradition while the woman bent all the way over. Yeah. You got to, boy, I'm trying to tell you. I just can't understand that to me. Because my mom was trying to be nice and try to help everybody. I'd have been saying, man, I said, ma'am, this is what I probably would say. I said, ma'am, any way you can just lay down, I said, well, Brother Calvin will catch your other legs, I'm going to catch your arm. We're going to see you straight down. I tried something, brother Ronald. I did something. I said, man, let me see if I got some oil to rub it down. Let me do something. But this guy was happy with that woman walking around there like that. Because it's tradition. And you know the Bible says, your tradition and religion make the word of God of none effect. Oh, hold up. Whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. And when his adversary, all of the adversaries looked at Jesus, acting a fool, were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Amen. And that's what we learned. So all the apostles teach about the resurrection, nothing I'm doing. All I'm trying to tell you, the Holy Spirit reminds me, little things, you want to check these little things out, get these things out of the way. Because that power from the floor, he teaches. I ain't got time to go to this. Now, remember Jesus, I think 16th chapter of Matthew, Jesus asked God, who the men say I am? That's the statement. Remember that? See, that was how I get you understand. See, Jesus asked no question because he don't know ill. He tried to get you to hold your eyes to see, get the bells ringing. Who the men say I am? That's some things up like that. They said, hold up, guys. Who you say I am? Yeah. Then the Holy Spirit, when Peter opened up mind, the Holy Spirit told him who he was. Uh-huh. And then, listen to this. Once he got revelation, who Jesus really read by the Holy Spirit, uh-huh, they moved to Revelation. Now, if you go check it out, I ain't got time to fool with it. That when God started talking to them about how he's going to die, what things had to suffer, and he started talking about a whole bunch of things once they move in to Revelation. Listen to this. This is a prayer. I don't know which prayer you're going on. If you believe whatever God says to you, and show you, you will see the glory of God. Yeah. My mom, she was getting to have an operation, I told her years ago, an apostle called and prayed for her. She knew her surgery, so let the apostle know he called and prayed for her. He called and prayed with her, gave her scripture, and all of a sudden this came out of his mouth. God going to pull you through. Why you need to say that? We didn't think we needed it. Well, we got to the hospital, they deserted, everything going fine. Till about 12 o'clock, we ain't heard nothing from nobody. So we said, let's get something to eat. And then we go check this deal out, see what's really going on here. So, and when my sister had already seen my mom dead before, but she was kind of scared, so she didn't know what to do with it. And like that, before this happened. And so I go up to the table. They said, you want a son? I said, yes, yes, ma'am, I want a son. She said, sir, the doctor is back there, and he can't get your mama's heartbeat going. And as soon as she said that, my heart, something went down in my stomach. I said, Jesus, Lord, they talking about my mama back there. And so I'm just figuring in my mind, trying to figure, and the woman said, sir, it doesn't look good. I said, Jesus, Lord, my stomach down to my knees now. So I said, Lord Jesus. So I said, you hear me? I said, so I turned, Brother Ronald, to go tell the family that my mama back there dead on the operating table and they can't get up. But then the Holy Ghost said, you remember that word Pastor Thompson Thompson said? But God's gonna pull her through. So Brother Ronald, by the time I got to the table, I got up with everybody. I said, the people back there said they can't get a heartbeat going. It don't look good. I said, but the pastor had said that he's going to pull her through. So I said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay right here by this door until that guy come out there and pull her through. And go. So some of my family members hollering, screaming. I said, take on out. Please get up out of here as fast as you can. We prayed about 40, 45 minutes. The doctor come up there, give me his head sideways. Y'all be go see your mom about an hour. Go check out. She had died on the operating table. But we had a word from the Lord. So here's my burden. You keep looking at like I said, you keep eating that guy, that's how I fool you. Yeah. He said, you get an anointing, you see things a whole nother different way, you see an anointing. When I look, I'll be a little nervous that come out, but when the anointing come, the power of God come, I ain't scared of nobody and they brother. and they brother. Jesus, Lord. That was not nice. All right, let me see. Okay. I'm ready for y'all now. I got two things. I'm ready for y'all. Oh, Lord. Oh, here we go. One more that I think we're going to be done. I got stuff on the back of here. Let's see. We got no down on the back of that. Listen to this. God made you. Listen to this. Listen now. You might need to write this down. Listen faithfully. God made you a unique individual according to his plan and his purpose. Come on now. He carefully established your personality, your talent, and all your interests. He gave you an assignment to pursue that will suit you perfectly and to fulfill it. So you don't want to be in a rush to go to heaven until you at least fulfill your destiny, what God put you on the earth for. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, now man got to work. He said, but nighttime coming when no man can work. Man, he said, I'm going to get this done before nighttime. Come on, me. I'm getting it done. And thank God he got it done. And that's why Pastor about the resurrection. He got it paid for everything, our health, our wealth, everything, so we can walk into it. Then he put it like on the inside of your spirit, on the inside of you. Yes, and so we need to know how to draw from the inside when the problem come up. I told this the last time I was up here. The guy, I want to get close to God. I want to walk in the power of God and everything like that. I want to walk with God, the power. And so he came to one man, and God said, I can't help you. He said, but God, another man didn't really walk with God. You go pray with him and let him pray with you. So he got with the guy. And soon he got to prayer, about 5 minutes into the prayer, God said, what is this $5,000 that keep coming out of my spirit? What is that five? Oh, God, man, I know that $5,000 is. Me and my brother was in business. He died. So my wife told me to liquidate the business. So I figured he wasn't there. I just kept me extra five. He stole five from his brother. He said, I just kept me extra five for myself. And so Lord was been telling him, get that straight, get that money to that man's wife, and do it right. But he wouldn't listen. And then he's still trying to walk in the power of God. Well, like I say, you're not going away until you take that last thing God told you. Take care of you. You ain't going away. I tell people, I'd be cussing, acting a fool. I ain't get mad with you. You better get that straight with the Lord, because as long as you walk around like that, you ain't going away. And I thought about the day, and a whole lot story. I thought about the day, if you want to walk like in the power of God, and you're always mad all the time, nobody can't talk to you, you got a bad attitude, where you was going? Walking out of love and everything, where you going? You ain't going to see no rest of the power like that. Talking to people in the kind of way. Where you was going? Oh, excuse me, sorry. So, the guy said, you got the money? I said, yeah, I got the money. He said, well, here's the envelope and stamp. Write the sister $5,000, go give it to her, and then come back. Then we'll go talk about the resurrection. Because as long as you hold this money you stole, you ain't going away, brother. Oh, Lord. See, I mean, wait a minute. Hold one down here, we're going to do it. Oh, here you go. I'm going to just tell this story right there. The old and the young prophet. Y'all remember that story, the old and the young prophet? Now, it's about the resurrection. I'm not even going to go to scriptures. We have to do scriptures next time. But anyway, the young prophet had the power of God working in his life. And the power of God, so the king had stuck his hand somewhere, and the king's hand got all messed up. And the prophet of God, he said, he asked the prophet to pray to God that God restores his hand. And I'm going to tell you all that. You can go read it for yourself later. 1 Kings 13:11-25. Okay, so he told him, you can go back over there and go, pray to God that God would restore my hand. He prayed to God, and God restored that guy, king's hand, just like it was. And so the king wanted to pay him and all that kind of stuff to God. And no, he said, don't pay me nothing. He said, matter of fact, come on by the house. I'm going to get you. God said, no, Lord, don't go by the house. He's going to leave the town and go another way. Don't even let you know where I'm going. All right, so then this other old prophet on the shelf don't want to listen to God and see a young man walking in the power of God. He won't mess him up. So the man's two sons seen the power of God working on the young man. He even told his dad, the man. But he's on the young prophet then. He got the power of God. He got miracles working like that. And the king said, where he at? Which way he went? He went that way. He go follow the young guy. Pastor told the story before. He go follow the guy and get the guy to come follow him, lied to the guy, and told him about the Lord. The Lord showed me a dream. And the young man listened to him and cost him his life. And to show how bad it was, a lion came out there and attacked the man, killed him, and the lion didn't even eat him. Think about that. That's the devil making a mockery out of God. Then, so maybe the lion don't like animals. I mean, you know what I mean? A donkey, right there, the lion didn't even touch the donkey. So everybody said, oh, what is this? What kind of mess is this? Trying to be a mockery to God. And what happened? The guy got killed, and God said, I said, you listen, you won't be buried with your family. You're going to bury you in this town, unfamiliar town. So that taught me a lesson. So this guy got the power of God flowing in life, so listen in. When you start moving the power of God, be discerning, like Apostle said. People start telling stuff like that about the Lord prophesying to you, all kinds of stuff. Hold up, brother. Hold that. I was back there years ago when I first got, boy, a guy broke out and told him, he broke out and told him loud, like he was waiting for the right time. I said, that sounds like anointing right there. Pastor said, hold it. Put that down, brother. Thank you, Lord. Right. What we're going to find out, the guy had been going to a lot of churches doing that same old thing, but he came here and he got shut down. Right. All that proper line. Pastor, do we come here? Not your buddy. not at this ministry. You must know who is talking to you at all times. It's imperative that I know the voice of God. Amen. John 10 said about sheep know my voice, and the stranger they won't follow. I let that brother hate. He said, man, if I don't know nobody's voice, I'm going to learn the voice of God. I tell my children, and you ain't got so much to learn the voice of God. And like Romans 9:1, if something not bad went into your spirit, like an airplane, you're good to go to the airplane, you don't feel too good about it? I'm not going. Thank you, brother. Somebody come up with a great deal, talk about that high thing, and you feeling kind of like somebody, right? That's okay, brother. Take my name off the list, brother. Move my name off. All right? And so, these things will stop the power of God. The resurrection is Romans 8:11. The same spirit that raised God, Jesus from the dead, live on inside you. Jesus is the resurrection. Yes. All right, one of them, I got 3 minutes, y'all. Look, we did this fast, I'm telling you. look at this, Luke 10. Mary. Jesus came to Mary's house, Mary Martha's house, to visit them to eat. And Mary in there, worrying about the kitchen. Worrying about the food. And Martha. And Mary said, man, Jesus here. Yeah, we'll cook some food. I tell you what, once Jesus get done, we'll call McDonald's and order some food. But right now, brother, ain't nobody eat right there until Jesus get done. Here we go. Mary was overly occupied, upset, troubled, distracted, too busy to get to put away the kitchen, all that food, and then coming and fussing at Mary. My sister in the kitchen, you ain't gonna make her come do something. Jesus, Martha, you walk like a prostitute. Please go sit down somewhere. Stand to your feet. All right.